Scripture readings from John chapter 7, verses 37-39. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believe in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified.
ヨハネによる福音書7章37節から39節までお読みします。さて、祭りの終わりの大いなる日にイエスは立って大声で言われた。誰でも渇いているなら私のもとに来て飲みなさい。私を信じる者は聖書が言っている通りに、その人の心の奥底から生ける水の川が流れ出るようになる。これはイエスを信じる者が後になってから受ける御霊のことを言われたのである。イエスはまだ栄光を受けておられなかったので、御霊はまだ注がれていなかったからである。
Well, happy Father's Day for all of you fathers. And God, he calls himself our Heavenly Father. Amen. Don't we have an amazing Father? Amen. Amen. And Wayne read some scripture passages, and you know, with God our Father, if it's not too good to be true, then you're not reading him right. Because God is just, he desires to love us in a way as you fathers would desire to love your own children. Amen. And even more. Amen. And, you know, my father-in-law is a very godly man, and whenever he sells his corn, he's a farmer, whenever he sells his corn, he gives us some money off of that and just blesses us that way financially. And I believe God, he really wants to just bless us. And isn't it amazing that not only does he want to bless us, he wants us to be a part of his family. Amen. Not just as servants, but as adopted children. And he says, Jesus says, "There are many rooms in my Father's house, and I go and prepare a place for us." And the greatest blessing is when we see him face to face. But I want to talk a little bit about that. When we see him face to face, what is it going to be like? Well, if you want to hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," it's absolutely important that we have his Holy Spirit in us. And today I want to continue to talk about the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit as water. And just to give you a recap on the Holy Spirit, a short one, Holy Spirit is God. And in Matthew 28:19 it says, Jesus says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And those three make up what we call the Trinity, three in one, one in three. They are all separate, unique personality, but they are one in the same. Just as my wife and I, we are one, and the two has become one. But we are definitely different personalities.
Amen.
She is not, you know, she's not me, and I'm not her, and we have different tendencies, likes and dislikes, and but we are supposed to be one in the Spirit. Amen. And so it is with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we're not simply just to go around making disciples and dumping people in water or pouring water over them. But when it says baptize them, it means an immersion. Immerse them in the Father. Immerse them in the Spirit. Immerse them in Jesus. Not just a little part of you, but all around you, in you, around you. But today I want to talk about the Holy Spirit as water. And most of you know the importance of water. what is it, like 80% of the earth is covered in water. Our bodies are mostly made up of water, and so if you are deficient in water, you'll die. I don't think you go 3 days without water without really hurting yourself, and if not death, especially here in Tucson. Maybe it's like 2 days in Tucson without water. Just right now, I was sitting there worshiping, and I made a funny move, and I cramped up because I'm probably not drinking enough water. In fact, my mouth is really dry right now. And it's like, this is the Holy Spirit. But as we saw in our scripture passage, let's turn there to John. John 7. Let me read from verse 37. It says, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him were to later receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Amen. Let me pray. Father, we thank you so much. And we just want to bless you, Lord. Happy Father's Day. We pray that we could bless you in some way, minister to you in some way, Father. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for Jesus. Jesus, we thank you so much for your life, your death, resurrection. And we thank you that you have given us your Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you would fill us, fill this place, give us a greater awareness of your presence. We pray, Lord, that you would teach us all things. We thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. It says, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. And let anyone, the Spirit is available to anyone and to everyone who comes to Jesus. Let him come to me and I'll give you living water. I'll give you a drink. Now, there's a thirst that only God can quench. You guys realize that?
Amen.
You know, there are some days when I go to sleep, and before I sleep, I daydream. Well, I don't know, I guess. I think in my head, man, I wish I could go back in time. I wish I was 19 again. And then I would just work and invest in Yahoo. Or I would just try really hard and do that and that, make these kind of choices. And then one day, though, I was doing that game of, man, I wish I could go back in time game. And then I said, you know, if I went back in time and did everything I knew I should have done when I was 19 or 18, and I come to this place in my life where I'm 36? 35? I'm still 35, okay. Man, oh man. Help him, Lord, help him. Okay, when I turn 35, you know, I came to the realization that I'd probably want to go back in time again. And change some other things. And then change some more things. Because money will not quench that thirst you have. Being famous won't quench that thirst you have. Whatever it is that you want to go back in time and fix and change so that in this life, where you're at now, would be different Let me tell you, it will not be quenched. Because there is the thirst that only God can quench. And so he says, in a festival, you caught that, right? This is a festival where people are worshiping God. They're there to meet with God. They're there to have fun too. And Jesus says, on the last day, your thirst hasn't been quenched yet, has it? Well, come to me, and I'll quench that thirst. You know, this is, I believe, a theme that runs throughout Scripture. There's a story, or there's a prophet, Jeremiah, and he rebukes the children of Israel with this. It's in Jeremiah 2:13, and let me read it for you. He says, "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. You guys see that imagery? The picture that Jeremiah is trying to give. Back in those days, they didn't have plumbing like we have plumbing today, so it's not like they could go to the refrigerator and just get a drink of water, or, you know, they didn't have bottled water, or however you get your water. But they had cisterns, and they would store water that way. But Jeremiah is saying, they have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns, leaking cisterns. Yeah, it can't get filled up, but soon enough, it'll run dry. And Jeremiah is saying, the Lord is saying this, you have forsaken me, the living water, fountain of water, for cisterns that cannot hold water. And I'm sure they've forsaken the Lord because they were seduced by some other things that this world can offer. And that looks very enticing, very appealing. I don't know how it was in those days, but today it comes to us in forms of advertisements, right? Magazines, movies, TV, radio, your friends, billboards, even maybe churches sometimes. Seduces us to go and chase after and dig our own cisterns and forsake the Lord. Jesus here on the last day and the greatest day of the festival stood and said in a loud voice, "If you are thirsty, I will give you this water. If you are thirsty, come to me and drink." And it says, "Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." Now, it's important. What does it mean to believe in Jesus? Because it says, whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from them. We know what it is to come to Jesus. What does it mean to believe in Jesus? And I believe, I'm using the word believe a lot of times, but I believe that in Western Christianity, belief in Jesus has come to mean a hypothetical belief in a theoretical problem. Meaning, I don't know how I could explain. Meaning, if you go to school, you could pass, what is it, biology? without believing a single thing they said. But you could pass. All you got to do is write the right answer, right? Hey, you can go to seminary and pass without believing a single thing they say. Let me tell you, you can't pass heaven if you don't have a belief in it. And it's a different kind of belief than what the school is teaching. My stomach is just... I think rivers of flowing, rivers of living water is coming out of my stomach right now because it's making a lot of noise. I'm sorry. Excuse me. A belief here in America is more like, okay, I believe in a historical Jesus. Or I believe Jesus died and rose again. I'm good. That's not what Jesus is talking about when he says, if you believe in me. It is the same word from the word faith. Pistuo or something like that. Kind of nervous because there's a couple of seminary grads here today. But it is from the word faith. Whoever has faith in me. Now faith is a different than belief. Faith is actually a verb. Don't quote me on that in Greek, okay? And what I'm trying to say is it changes you. It causes you to follow Jesus. So Jesus here says, whoever believes in me will have rivers of living water flow from within them. Means more than, okay, Jesus, you're a good guy. I believe you're who you say you are. Let me go do my own thing. It's like, no, Jesus, you are Lord. Let me follow you. Wherever you go, whatever you say, whatever you do. And I want to be like that. And I will follow you wherever you take me. That is the belief that it says, whoever believes in me. And what does it mean to have rivers of flowing water flow from within? So once we begin to follow Jesus, and then Jesus gives us His Spirit, it says rivers of living water will flow from within them, and it is the most, basically, just as water is the most essential part in your body, water, living water is the most essential part in your spiritual body. Without it, you will die spiritually. But rivers of living water will flow from within them. And you could just picture the imagery of water of cleansing, refreshing, healing. Some waters just have healing qualities to it. Some waters have refreshing qualities to it. As all water has living qualities to it. But for my last point, I want us to, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. To have rivers of living water flow from within. Yes, Revelation chapter 3. I can't get that song out of my head. I got a river of life flowing out of me. You guys all know that song? Okay, one person knows that song. That song. I'm not singing it because it's a children's song. Well, okay, fine. It's like, I got a river of life flowing out of me. I forgot the song. Forget it. Maybe the Lord didn't want me. But anyways. Honda Sensei, you want to sing for us? Okay. Revelation 3. Chapter verses 14 and on. And it's the church in Laodicea. Most of you know this church. Out of all the Revelation church, you probably have heard this church referenced because it's the church that is lukewarm. And I want to... The beauty of Revelation, the book of Revelation, as well as the difficulty of the book of Revelation, is there's a lot of metaphors, imagery, and it's sometimes hard to know exactly what Jesus is saying, because sometimes he just doesn't explain everything. But here it is, in Revelation 3:14 and on. It says, "To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say I'm rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes to see, so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with them, and they with me. To those who are victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne. Just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches." If you noticed, it's a picture of Jesus taking a drink of water. And the water was neither hot nor cold, and so he spits it out. Just to give you a little historical background of the city of Laodicea, as you read, they were a very rich city. They were known to be advanced in, I don't know if it's optometry, but people with eye problems would go to Laodicea because they had special eye salve that helped people see. And you see that as Jesus is kind of rebuking them about these things. But the one thing about this city that really the citizens, I guess, hated, the one blemish, was they didn't have their own water supply. And the cities to the, I believe, the north had hot springs. And as Japanese, I know you guys appreciate hot springs. They're called onsen. You know, the cities to the north, they had good onsen. And they actually had healing onsens, I guess, where people would go and just sit in the pool and get refreshed in these hot, naturally hot pools. The cities to the south, I believe, had very cold water. Mountain ice cold water. And since Laodicea didn't have their own water supply, they would ship the waters either from the north or the south. And by the time it came to Laodicea, it was neither hot like the hot springs or cold like the mountain springs. And it would get to them and be lukewarm, and it would be like, "Ugh. We have all of this wealth, scientifically advanced, people coming all over the world to buy our stuff, and we can't even have a nice cold cup of water." And Jesus plays on that. And he says, "Laodiceans, you guys are like your waters." As Christians, as believers, and I believe most of you here are Christians and believers, it's not enough to say God loves me and I'm just going to do whatever I want. It's not enough to say God loves me and be rich, which is good, right? I'm not saying those are bad things. It's not enough to say God loves me and advance in your field, whatever field that may be. Because the Laodiceans, they did exactly all of that. They said, God loves me, and they had a great city. But Jesus says, I know your deeds. They are neither hot nor cold. Now that word deeds, it does mean deeds, your works. I know your works. Now, listen. I'm not here preaching a work-based salvation, okay? That's not what I'm trying to say. But once we come into the kingdom, and we have Jesus as Lord, that means we surrender our rights. And we follow Him. And we follow Him because we know that following Him will quench every thirst we have. And if you're sick and tired of just having regrets, if you're sick and tired of saying, playing that game, oh, I wish I could go back into the future, let me tell you, Jesus is the answer. Submitting to His Lordship, submitting to Him and to His ways, will quench all of those thirsts. And rivers of living water that can actually, it's interesting, the Laodicean churches, as Jesus, I guess, drank them, would have ministered to Jesus if it was either hot or cold. In our lives, if we allow Him and rivers of living water to flow from our lives, we can minister to each other. Amen. But the greatest thing is, we could actually, in some way, minister to Jesus Himself. When He comes to JCCT and takes a drink of this congregation, He can say, wow, that was refreshing. But it requires us to repent. And all of us have areas where we need to change. All of us have areas where we need to submit to the Lord. And so, as we talk about the Holy Spirit, and next week I don't know if we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, but as we're talking about the Holy Spirit, He will lead us. He's the advocate. He will guide us. He will change us. He will speak to us, and like I've been saying, as He speaks to you, do not harden your heart. But as the Holy Spirit speaks, trust Him. It will be the best decision you'll make. It will be the hardest, probably, too. But it will be the absolute best decision you'll make. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, we thank You so much that You are so patient with us. We do ask that You would speak to us, Lord. We pray, Father, that we would discern Your voice and we will obey. No matter how hard it is, no matter how much we would need to humble ourselves, no matter how much we may lose our reputation, no matter how much it may bring shame upon us, we know, Lord, that Your ways are the best ways. We know that Your ways will lead to greater glory. We know that Your ways will bring heaven here on earth, Lord. And that's what we pray. Your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. We thank You so much for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.